Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. What's up, family? Wednesday night, Dynamite. 2-2-22. Hey, at least for wrestling tonight, we didn't get any 10-10-10. They're coming. Even though I know tonight there was a lot of people, MJF, CM Punk starting at 9:20. Oh, Keith Lee's going to show up. He is going to be a surprise. They're coming. Nah, it didn't happen. I thought this was a very fun episode of AEW Dynamite. I thought Jay Lethal was supposed to take on Ricky Starks tonight. Yes, it's still happening, I believe, unless Rampage is live on Friday. We got to get them battling on Friday. Now, look, you know, on my shows, I always give you my honest, straight-up opinion. No agenda, no bias. That's why, if you notice, you know, I don't get much love and much play from a lot of the wrestling companies out there. You know, individual people, I got support, and that's what matters to me. All of you supporting what I do is what matters to me. So you know what I say is really, truly coming from here and from here, and not just to get views, hits, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to say a few things tonight about the Brian Kendrick situation. I'm going to keep it on the real. I'm going to talk about what went down in the main event tonight with MJF and CM Punk. Quite honestly, CM Punk's best match since his return. I don't even think it's close. I mean, we've said CM Punk has returned. Some of the opponents, you know, I'm not saying that they were bad, but this just brought CM Punk way back. My God, the first Pepsi plunge that we have seen since before he went to WWE. He might have used it in OVW. He might have used it in developmental before they called him up. I don't recall ever seeing the Pepsi plunge on WWE's ECW early on. But not only did he pull one off tonight, they did it off the middle rope. So you see the little mouse on CM Punk's knee. Fun match. Excellent match. See Tony Khan. You can do dusty finishes and the fans will love it. It's kind of hard. And let's be honest, you know, the radical left is not going to bring this up. MJF having a little bit of wrist tape, you know, like that's going to start a match after 2+ years of AEW with the referees ignoring everything. Anybody could do what they want. What do we have? 1 DQ in the history of Dynamite. So maybe that was a bit much, but if you like old school, telling a story, quintessential babyface versus quintessential heel, amazing, excellent, fun, loved it very much. Big Armada, little step ahead from me. Feels bad for Wheeler Yuta tonight. Guy was busting his ass against Mox only for the fans to ignore him. For a guy that's not even in a match, look, dude, I'm straight up, man. And I'm sorry if this upsets anybody out there. But, you know, if anybody noticed my Twitter tonight, you know, I'm going back with a little bit of the sarcasm in shit that I used to say. Because it's not that I try to be politically correct. Obviously, I'm not. But I try to be a little bit more mature on social media because I am an older person. But, you know, sometimes you got to just say things like they were. Brandi Rhodes tonight, I swear to God, I mean, I wasn't going to shoot video to prove it, even though I know I always feel like I got to prove everything. I literally took a shit during a segment. I had to go. I mean, I had the urge to go for a couple of hours. And when I saw this, you know, this forced reminder, I'm a badass bitch. I'm a badass bitch. Brandi Rhodes got rattled tonight. I don't give a fuck if you are the CEO, the COO, the CWO, the CW Network, the whatever position she's in. And I always give her props. I always give her props. That doesn't mean that she can handle an awkward, not anticipated, shut the fuck up. It'll rattle even the best at times. She didn't know what the fuck to do. She just turned around. All she could say is, are you done? Are you done? Shut the fuck. And then they did it again. And she got so rattled. Dan, I'm just going to go right to what I wanted to say. Let's just fuck everything else we were going to say. Let me skip all my badass bitch stuff. Let's go right to what I was trying to say. It was so forced, and it was fucking awful. And Paige Van Zandt, you know, seriously, do wrestling fans honestly give a shit? What is this going to give a little buzz on UFC? I don't care about that. And Wheeler Yuta, I've talked about this before. The guy is so freaking talented. I watched the match that he did over the weekend. And the guy has all the ability in the world. But honestly, what the fuck has he done in AEW? Oh, he's a best friend. They put Danhausen in his corner to try to get a little bit more of the rah-rah. Nobody gives a shit for the most part about Wheeler Yuta. I did feel bad about it tonight because he had to replace Brian Kendrick. The Brian Kendrick. Oh, I have a few things to say about him. But King of Games for 405. Thank you very much for the super chat. Great main event. Was I surprised that MJF won? A little bit. A little bit. And I'll tell you why. And believe me, anybody that's on social media tonight that is going to say, the right person won, the right person won. Let's see over the last 7 days if they wrote on social media, MJF has to win it. He has to win it. Weird. They don't write it for the last 7 days. But it, right after the pin, told you, he's got to win it. A lot of people, including me, expected Wardlow to finally turn babyface, refuse the direction of MJF, cause MJF the match. There's no wrong decision in that match. Whether CM Punk won that match or MJF won that match, it didn't matter. You had a win-win situation no matter what. If CM Punk wins that match, you have social media continuing the trolling that MJF is, oh, no wins in 20. Are we supposed to ignore that social media has been trending for the last month that MJF is winless in 2022? Are we supposed to ignore after everything with Captain Sean Dean? We're supposed to ignore all that? If MJF would have lost tonight, social media, it would have been on a fucking shirt. MJF, oh, and 2022. So no matter which side you were on, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's the people that are like, I told you so. If some people said that all week, that they, and fine, good for you. Props, and I'm being serious. But there was no wrong answer. That's when you know you got something beautiful in wrestling. When you could look at both sides of the coin and come out with really strong logic on either side, it is a win-win. That doesn't happen that often. But I'm going to say this about the main event tonight. And I'm being honest. You know, I don't mind slow burn in a storyline. I mean, sometimes a slow burn is great, but sometimes a slow burn really, really sucks. It's not that because we're in an age now where you get instant gratification. Hey, I need the weather. Oh, I could click two buttons and I got it. Hey, I need the sports scores. Hey, I click two buttons, I got it. Hey, I want to whack off. You click two buttons and you got whatever floats your boat naked on your screen. Whatever you want. You want the answer for a definition? You need something spelled? Hey, Alexa, how do you spell Zionist? How do you spell this? How do you spell anti-Semitic? Is it two words or is it one? Is there a dash between anything that you want? Snap of a finger, you could get it. So we're used to, but the slow burn sometimes, if they are still doing a storyline where Wardlow is going to ultimately turn babyface, they blew it by not doing it tonight. Sometimes it's too fucking long. I understand they don't have a pay-per-view every single month, but if Wardlow is going to remain a heel for the immediate future, I'm not talking a month from now, oh, we're getting close to pay-per-view time. If it's going to be for another 3, 4, 6 months, year, you know, that's fine then. But if you're going to turn this guy heel a month from now, and then you get the people, oh, you see, that's, you know, all thought out. No, the storyline for the last bunch of weeks is building and building and building, and you take all that tension and you throw it out the window because Wardlow passes the ring to MJF with the ref not looking. MJF knocks him out, and then Wardlow takes the ring and puts it back in his pocket and goes along with everything. Didn't look reluctant. You know, he did everything like a heel. So if that's going to be the story and he's remaining heel, fine. But if they decide a month from now, because it's closer to the pay-per-view, to turn a babyface, you took too fucking long. In my opinion, you took too long. Sometimes you take too long, compare it to sex. You take too long, you know, stop. The moment is gone. The mood is lost. Yes, I've been there. It sucks. I know some of you have been there too, but you won't publicly. Seriously, sometimes too long is not good. And in my opinion, if they're going to turn the guy babyface, they should have done it tonight. In my opinion. You know, the guy with the box over his head, I know Kip Sabian has been doing that gimmick for months and months and months, and honestly, I don't know if he'll ever be on TV again. He might leave AEW and still have the fucking box over his head. But I honestly thought whoever was at ringside with that box, if it was a fan, much taller than Kip Sabian, and, you know, if somebody was going to make a debut or a surprise, you know, maybe CM Punk gets tossed by the crowd, and then the person with the box removes it, is a surprise. I mean, you know, Tony Khan has got to be a little bit careful with all these signings. And I'm not talking about bloating the roster. But you saw what happened last week in Cleveland. You had so many people clickbaiting y'all on their shows, Johnny Gargano. Last month, Wyndham. No Wyndham. So now, tonight, so I'm wearing the shirt because as of today, 12:01 a.m., Killer Cross, a bunch of others, Keith Lee, Mia Yim, they're all free birds now. They can now do whatever they want. But tonight, that's all you saw. He was trending, Keith Lee. Tony Khan's got to get out of that shit. You can't have, you know, the fans. And look, let me be clear. You can look at this on either side. In my opinion, because Tony Khan has been doing the Dixie with the surprises, and look, he's delivered most of the time. He's delivered a hell of a lot more better than Dixie Carter. You know, I've been using that comparison for a while. But the problem is, when you give too much, your fans, your hardcore fans start expecting it too much. And even though there's no plans to go that certain route, they feel disappointed. They feel that they didn't get what they expected. You know, it's almost like if you spoil someone too much, if you spoil a pet too much, you spoil a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, and wife, sooner or later, you got to dial back a little bit. And when you dial back, you know, everything seems like, what the fuck, you know? But here's the problem. If I was Tony Khan, I wouldn't do anything about that. You know why? Because ratings, if casual fans think there's going to be a crazy debut tonight, like Cleveland last week, how many shows for a month clickbaited you that Johnny Gargano was going to be there? I mean, teasing it. Look at the Royal Rumble. You had websites report Kairi Sane, surprise entry. And some people bought it, and then they reported Kairi Sane in St. Louis. Absolute lie. So if you're a promoter and you have people hometown, you're coming to their hometown. Oh, my God. So-and-so is from here. And there's rumors that so-and-so may sign with AEW. I wouldn't try to clear that up because you might get extra ticket sales out of it. You might get some curious fans to tune in, convinced that there's going to be a surprise, convinced that somebody is going to make their debut. And then it doesn't happen. The problem is, how many times do people keep falling for that? So, no, Shane O'Mac, we're talking tomorrow. Not talking Shane McMahon tonight. There is so much that has not been revealed. And if you check out my Twitter, I posted a tweet earlier. I don't want to jump ahead. I'll talk about it tomorrow on a Q&A. But one of the persons who I really trust that, you know, is in the business, that I tried to get some type of an answer from, the first two words that were given me was highly exaggerated. So I am not talking about Shane McMahon until I get more information. We'll talk about that tomorrow. So that's why I pinned it tonight. So I don't want anybody to feel disappointed. We don't talk about it. We're not talking about it. So, but, you know, Dynamite tonight was only four matches. And again, I was convinced we were supposed to get Ricky Starks versus Jay Lethal. Somebody there decided to do the dusty finish halfway through that match with the tape. I think that first part, because look, the match started at 9:20, 40 minutes. I mean, I'm not complaining. You know, maybe the three commercial breaks kind of sucked, but I'm not complaining about a 40-minute MJF versus CM Punk match. But something tells me that first part of the match with the dusty finish, I think that was supposed to be Ricky Starks and Jay Lethal. And then they decided, you know what? The live fans are going to still get the match if they're taping Rampage tonight, which I think they are. So, you know, we'll see. But, all right, let's briefly talk about Brian Kendrick. Because, again, tonight was four matches. I ain't getting into every little move detail with CM Punk versus MJF because it told an old school story. It told a beautiful old-school story. And, you know, some of the other content tonight, we'll talk about it. But anyway, let's talk about Brian Kendrick, and then we'll segue into Mox versus Utah, House of Black, which they've actually tweaked the name. To me, maybe one or two too many words. There was supposed to be a tease tonight that something tonight was supposed to cement, make the House of Black complete. A lot of people thought we were getting a third member. It was not Mo. Or Mabel, whoever it was supposed to be. Remember that debacle from 1996? Julie Hart, that storyline is dead now. It's absolutely dead. Even if she joined 2-3 weeks from now, again, too much of a slow burn. That shit should have happened 2-3 weeks ago. She ain't Iron Mike Sharp, where she's got to wear an arm brace for 20 years. All right? And she didn't even get hardly any mist in her eyes. You know, I know, she's faking it. She's going to take the, if she joins, she'll take the patch off. She's never blinded. It's just that she fooled Goof Garrison and Cancel Culture Pillman. So, cancel culture. Sorry, CCC. All right. Brian Kendrick. Okay. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Brian Kendrick asked for his release from WWE. Very interesting. Yesterday on Patreon, Mish and I talked about Brian Kendrick right before the show went off the air. And I was being dead honest yesterday with this. I showed this match to our live audience yesterday that AEW was advertising Jon Moxley versus Brian Kendrick. Now, the overall conversation that Mish and I had yesterday was that Brian Kendrick was more of a trainer in NXT, and Brian Kendrick does not have many years left inside the ring. And both Mish and I agreed that the same vibes we got from Brian Kendrick leaving WWE is the same as Matt Hardy leaving WWE, the same as Scotty Tuhati leaving WWE. You notice what they all have in common. The minute they were able to return to the ring after their WWE release, they were advertised to wrestle immediately. Scotty Tuhati, when he first left, everybody was talking about, oh, sinking ship, NXT to Sinet. He posted a bucket list. Scotty Tuhati wanted to wrestle again. He was not going to be able to wrestle if he remained a trainer in NXT. Matt Hardy, WWE wanted him to become a trainer. And he was not going to get the time to wrestle on WWE television if he remained in WWE. Soon as he left, wanted to wrestle. Brian Kendrick, trainer, doesn't have many years left. Soon as he gets that release, announced return to the ring. These guys don't have many years left. And obviously, in the case of Scotty Tuhati, past his prime. So you don't want to take that last 1, 2, 3 years that you could wrestle and put it aside because you're a trainer. Now, if you truly don't want to hit the ring anymore, that's different. But for these guys, their entire life, for the most part, was since they were very young, pro wrestling was their life. And these guys don't want to take the final years and retire a couple of years too early. So that was the vibe that we had. But honestly, when we looked at this match, we're like, does anybody truly, truly care? Oh my God, I got to watch Moxley versus Kendrick. If you wanted to watch Moxley, it's because Moxley is back and he's in phenomenal shape. And we love watching Moxley with fans. But as far as, oh, I got to see Moxley versus Kendrick, come on. Nobody, for the most part, was doing that. And I honestly was like, okay, you know, this match, you know, and I even said it on Patreon yesterday, this match should only go 2 minutes. Don't do a commercial break and do 6, 7 minutes to try to make it seem like, oh, Brian Kendrick could still go. Moxley should be destroying people. So, the Brian Kendrick was going to make his AEW debut today. You saw a couple of cute little journalists yesterday. My sources tell me there is going to be a debut on AEW. And meanwhile, AEW had already announced this match going down. So, we think this match is going down today. Now, unfortunately, for Brian Kendrick, AEW had their Gunther Stark moment today. They had the Gunther Stark. I say Gunther, you say Gunther. I say tomato, you say tomato. Is it interesting that fans seem to vet wrestlers better than the promotions? You would think a simple Google search, submission sorority. Paige steps up. She had the wherewithal. She Googled it. Hey, look, I don't think submission sorority, we should go with submission sorority. I don't think you'd want kids to be Googling that name, even if they're looking for us, You know, they learned when they did Toxic Attraction, you know, nothing really came up, but they made the mistake with Submission Sorority. Gunther Stark, it's obvious nobody in WWE bothered to do a simple search. All you had to do is just type the name in. Even before you hit enter, the suggestions, Nazi, 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 Nazi. So they didn't bother. Simply because Brian Kendrick has been in wrestling for all these years, and simply because Brian Kendrick's name has been featured on NXT, AEW didn't do their diligence to see if there was any skeletons in Brian Kendrick's closet that maybe was not looked at in WWE. Now, look, we've talked about this before. We didn't need this Brian Kendrick situation to talk about this, but you'll remember I said the difference between AEW and WWE, and I think I even said this again 2 weeks ago, is that besides WWE being PG TV and AEW being TV 14, WWE comes off more like suck it up, suck it up. They don't want any fragile snowflakes, you know, in the company. You bitch, you complain, you do this, you do that. You know, you don't want that. Or we'll do the reverse. You know, Mustafa Ali, all right? Obviously, he wants out. He has posted a tweet or two after that he wants out still. So that's his wishes. And because that's his wishes, I respect it. I'm not going to do Free Ali and all this other stuff because he's a big boy. He's got a family. He's got a livelihood. He's got bills. He's got responsibilities. He handles his own business. We could support it, but we don't have to be his mouthpiece. Let him talk. All right. So Ali, but what did Ali do? Ali ran to Twitter and had to post it publicly to like humiliate his boss. I mean, let's be honest. Now, you humiliate your boss, you know, you're probably not going to get what you want. And with WWE making billions, and it's not coming out of their own little piggy banks, you don't think WWE will turn around and say, hey, you know, we're going to lose probably 80 grand, 100 grand, 150 grand with Mustafa Ali, or, well, we only a couple of months, whatever it is, you know, fuck it. You know, just let him waste. Let him waste. You know, we'll just, you know, raise the ticket price a dollar, or we'll just cut something here or cut something there. You know, again, people think budget cuts, some people still think budget cuts means money problems. No. WWE was, instead of spending $150 million on payroll, you know, we'll only spend $80 million. We'll lower the budget, and we'll use that money elsewhere. They have plenty of room to do shit like this. So what happens with Ali? All right, you know, you want to play this mind chess with WWE, you know, it looks like, hey, they'll play too. And yet, you got all these people online. This is why I don't support WWE. This is why I hate WWE. Yet WWE draws 45,000 for the Royal Rumble. Yet $2 billion plus in revenue in a couple of months. You know, you look all of that. How do you fight that? How do you argue that? Well, but I wrote Free Ali. So you look at Brian Kendrick. Brian Kendrick, he's got a little bit of a checkered past with his whacked out views. Newsflash, back in 2013, we talked about the High Spots video. A lot of people talked about the High Spots video. A lot of you today still don't even know that this Brian Kendrick video that surfaced from 2011, there was a High Spots video. There's detailed reviews. I have one in front of me about that video. And back then, people were like, wow, he's a whack job with these wild conspiracy theories. In WWE, you know, hey, you know, it's whacked out and they still go business as planned. Yeah, it's free speech. It's whacked out free speech. It's weird conspiracy theories, you know, but it is 11 years ago. And Brian Kendrick, and thank you to the person that showed me the Lillian Garcia clip from about 5 years ago, Brian Kendrick said that, you know, he had some wild views and he's got to live with that for the rest of his life. Tonight, he issued an apology, and I will show you that apology in a couple of moments. The only thing is, I wish Brian Kendrick would have made this apology in 2012, 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Why issue an apology after you get your match taken away in AEW? You know, a little Lillian Garcia clip, and I got to pull up the screenshot because I emailed it to myself. I didn't download them. I'm going to do that right now. But this guy, if he changed his views, and I really believe him when he changed his views over the years, and he realizes how much he hurt people with his words. I really believe he's sincere with that. The thing that just sucks about it is he waited 11 years to make this heartfelt apology, and he only did it because his match was pulled from Dynamite tonight. So, you know, the guy knows he doesn't have that much time left in WWE. Where the hell is the thing? Just had it. Hold on. All right, I'm downloading. Oh, there we go. There's BK1. Show me BK2. Hold on. I'm just downloading the, there we go. Okay. BK2. There we go. There's BK2. Why is this not downloading? Let me refresh. Do we got it? Why is this not saving? I don't understand. All right, hold on a second. There we go. All right, so let's see. Where did this save? I'm getting like weird things happening right now with the computer. Okay, I saved this one. Let me just save the other one, BK2, because I know a lot of you are going to want to see the apology. So hang on. I got it. Okay, so now let me just pull this up. Let's go over here. My apologies for a little bit of unprofessional preparedness tonight, but we went right into the show. Okay, I got them right here. Let's just save these. Okay, I got them. All right. So for those that didn't see the video, you're welcome to go on High Spots to see them. Okay. If you're having a hard time finding the video, all you got to do is go on Google and search Unsolved Mysteries and Scary Stuff, The Kendrick Theory. Now, I'm not going to read you every viewpoint that Brian Kendrick had in this video, but as I bring up a couple of things, keep in mind that this review that I'm reading you has been on the net for 9 years. If you go to Wayback Machine, and you look up High Spots, or you look up a couple of sites, you will see. I don't want to name any wrestling news sites. They all covered this video in 2013. Two of them covered it in 2012. So they just let this go because it's old. But the minute he shows up on Dynamite, because of we don't tolerate any, you know, comments like this, that is a double-edged sword, because you have people in AEW that have said some terrible things in the past. People mature. People grow up. People say stupid things. I have done it. You have done it. We've all done it. But the thing is, you got a lot of people who do not like AEW. And those people, trust me, for 100 likes, will go on Google and will search and search and search and find dirt on some big names. It's only a matter of time. You have people that are not signed yet. You know, if AEW has gotta, they have to do what fans are doing right now. And they obviously did not with Brian Kendrick. They just figured, hey, great trainer, great wrestler, still has a couple of years left. We could get him on the cheap. Let's bring him in. Has a match with Moxley. You know, gets a little bit of a buzz. Everything works out. He becomes all elite. He works as a trainer, and he wrestles a little bit here and there. He can help elevate the Stars of Tomorrow. Yeah, let's bring him in. Let's bring him in. Nobody bought it to Google to see. You know, and you would think that a lot of these people would have remembered this stuff. We're not going to talk about the Illuminati, but let's talk about the mild stuff first. All right, this is from this video. About the moon landing. We'll go from wacky to Brian. Let me know where you got that Babanya Talk about zooted. This is almost like a bad Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You know, whatever the guy's name was. What was the guy from Fast Times? I know Sean Penn, but what was his name? You would think that this, honestly, this is almost, as I say this, you look at Brian Kendrick with 2011, almost feels like it's like a horrible version of Riddle, stoned on the beach, coming up with these wild conspiracy. Yo, the space radiation is too great for humans, and they've survived the trip. It was disinformation to win the space race from Russia. Stanley Kubrick, you know Stanley Kubrick, he is suspected to have been in charge to stage the moon landing. It was fake. He even drew hints of it on The Shining. All right, you look at that and like, okay, that might be something you say when you're stoned. You're passing a stogie, doing a couple of hits from the bong. Yo, I think the moon landing was fixed. I think Stanley Kubrick staged it. All right, assassinations. He claims that John F. Kennedy had his casket switched and his wounds were altered. He feels that someone in John F. Kennedy's own car shot him. Own car. He spoke out about secret societies. He says that John Hinckley Jr. was a Bush supporter. That's the person who tried to kill Ronald Reagan, insinuating that maybe he tried to kill Reagan so Bush could become president. He goes on that Michael Jackson faked his death. Okay, still, maybe dumb shit. You get somebody on the beach, yo, man, give me some of that chocolate tie. Yo, I think Michael Jackson faked his own death. I think he's somewhere hanging out with Elvis Presley and eating food. CIA and sex slaves. The CIA killed Hugo Chavez for not going along with American ideals. Young U.S. politicians are brought to parties, slip drugs, have sex with child prostitutes. They take pictures and they use it to blackmail them. Oh, believe it or not, I swear to fucking God, he claims Elvis faked his death. I honestly didn't see that before. Okay, now it gets fucked up. Now, like if you're on the beach and you're smoking weed with 2011 Brian Kendrick, now you start getting into territory. What's that infamous GIF file? You know, the guy that's like, you know what I'm talking about the Nazis and the moon. The moon may be a hollow space for aliens. Hitler sent 10,000 troops to Antarctica to find the inner earth where superior beings lived. The Holocaust was overblown, and the Red Cross stated there was only 250,000 Jews who were killed, and the number was blown up just to justify the creation of Israel. See what happened to Whoopi Goldberg recently about her? Could you imagine this? The gas chambers were for the lousing, and some evidence suggests that the Allies mocked up the death camps to expand the lie. The Russians killed 10 million Catholics during the same period. They didn't get a country for their loss. Now at this point, you're like, hey, you know, Brian, look at the time, man. I got to go. You know, I got to pick up my niece from school. You know, hey, I the library's going to close. I got to return my magazine. You know, it gets even worse. Sandy Hook. This was an attempt to further a plan to cause an eventual civil war in America. Robbie Parker was caught laughing before being told that he was on, at which point he began to act sad. His daughter was named a victim at Sandy Hook, but she was photographed with Barack Obama 2 days later. Sandy Hook is supposed to lead our guns being removed, and eventually those. Now, you think of that whack job referee from NXT that got let go. I mean, people were on a mission to remove what's his game? Who is Jackson Riker? I mean, you look at this stuff. I mean, it is pretty amazing that cancel culture, it's right in their face. Brian Kendrick is in that company. You know why nobody said anything? Because it was so long ago and nobody really talked about it. Look at the Ashley Massaro stuff. God rest her soul. You know, I was very critical about Ashley Massaro, her career when she was alive. But you look at the allegations with the military overseas And when she made those original allegations, everybody just ignored it. The minute she died, all of a sudden, WWE needs to be investigated. The military needs to be investigated. Look, if you're fucking offended, you're offended since day one. And that offense does not go away because Brian Kendrick had a killer match on 205 Live. You know, or Ashley Mazzaro looked pretty in Playboy. You know, all of these people that knew all this stuff, we covered it 9 years ago. We said this guy was a whack job. Send me whatever drug cartel you're getting your weed from. But because AEW is the first millennial promotion, and because Tony Khan has put himself in a corner, Max Caster with his rap, Max Caster is playing a character. MJF can't even call somebody a fat slob in the crowd anymore. When you get into this deep, hardcore, you know, cancel culture, here's the problem. Here's the problem. And I'm not criticizing anybody in AEW right now, but I'm making a point. If you're going to take that stance that you don't tolerate any dumb shit that is said, anything, you better make sure that that perception that you want to give, you better make sure that every wrestler, male or female, that you hire has a not only squeaky clean life, but shares the same exact views. Because when you back yourself in a corner and breaking news, MJF is a regular guy like everybody else, but just as a great wrestler and performer. Breaking news. Wrestlers do say dumb shit to fans that get under their skin. Breaking news. Sometimes you make a remark to someone and it's deemed extremely offensive. Now, what do you do about that? Now, every little thing that surfaces, they have this core nucleus of a fan base that everything is flowers. Everything has got to be, you're like, it just, you cannot have imperfections like this. And what happens when other wrestlers, something surfaces? Because it's there. It's almost never erases from the net. You look at what happened to Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette with that Ethiopia remark. I posted 5 different clips of him saying that over decades. To me, it was an asinine, stupid thing to say in 2020 because it's so outdated. But you don't think NWA didn't hear that remark? That it just somehow passed through? Look at Max Caster when he made that rap. It passed through Rampage. It passed through all their, or Dark, whatever it was. It passed through all their standards and practices, their editing. It made video. And then what did Tony Khan do? He played good cop, bad cop. I am going to oversee all the AEW programming from now on, you know, because there's no excuse. As I brought up at that time, it was glaring from the speakers in the back. Not one wrestler spoke up and said, hey, Tony, I don't know if this should air. You know, I don't. So now you back yourself in a corner. So I could go on and on with the Brian Kendrick stuff. You know, let's finish up with 9/11. Because 9/11, obviously, it hits home for all of us. But, you know, me living in New York, you know, it's a little bit more personal because I'm so close to where it happened. He said the official story of fire causing the steel to bend and eventually collapse the towers, a method of destruction that was never accomplished before in other burning structure, doesn't fly. His theory offered in the book, Where Did the Towers Go?, is what he refers to, that it's a technology that was used to obliterate the towers, be a microwave ray or whatsoever. He says chemical trails were created by airplanes that triggered a harp-like weather change to summon a controlled mini hurricane that was aimed at the towers. That is why papers flew out of the building unburned. Then wind basically ground the buildings into dust. The guy is just a whack job. Now, honestly, I'm just being straight up. How do you change that many views in 11 years. My God, other than a change in a co-host, 11 years feels like this. It doesn't feel that long ago. 11 years? You know, you think about even wrestling for 11 years. Sure, AEW wasn't around, but we just brought up 10, 10, 10. Of course, it doesn't feel like yesterday. That was 12 years ago. Have we really changed all that much? I have evolved in my views. I'm not a Trump supporter anymore. And some of my social views have changed over the years, but I haven't radically changed my brain to have all these conspiracy theories. And then 10 years later, I do a complete 180. So it's hard to buy. I believe him, but it's hard to buy that for 11 years, you never once post a public apology. You do it after your match was pulled from Dynamite. So tonight, Tony Khan removed him, replaced him with Wheeler Yuta, and Brian Kendrick posted the following. I apologize for all the hurt, embarrassment I have caused with my words. These are not my beliefs and never were beliefs of mine, and I crossed the line. The word never is pretty fascinating, guys. Never. So what did he do? Get paid $1,000 to act like a whack job that, hey, you know, I needed the money that time. I knew I was going to fuck my career and that video was going to haunt me forever. But hey, that $500, you know, that bought me some good pizza and weed at that time. He goes on to say, and I quote, I spread the most vile comments without thinking of the damage it would cause. I will live with this regret for the rest of my life. I am truly sorry for the pain I have caused. Okay. Hulk Hogan situation. Got caught. Finally got caught. Now feel sorry about it. I will leave you. Look, however you feel about it, you have that right to an opinion. Some people feel that it's 11 years ago, that, you know, it's cancel culture and it, you know, it's freedom of speech, even though it's whacked out and this and that. But however you feel about it, I respect it. But I will leave you with this. You think, if you go on that review and you look at the entire review, there's about 15 topics that they covered. There might even be more than that. If somebody offered me money tomorrow and said, I'm going to give you 15 to 20 topics and just say the wildest shit imaginable, there is no way I could get that freaking detailed about this scientific stuff and microwave stuff and this fake hurricane and the equator and the moon and bringing up specific numbers with statistics of people who have died in the Holocaust and bring up 9/11 stuff and Hugo Chavez and the moon and the Illuminati and bringing up symbols and this and that. Do you realize how much information this guy had stored in his brain? You don't read that a couple of days before for a payday on a High Spots video. That is stuff that is deep instilled in your heart, your brain, and your mind to get that freaking detailed. So I don't know what to believe with this guy. Oh, the Oklahoma City bombing was a government-organized false flag operation. You know, I mean, there is so many things that this guy brought up and the detail. My God. So I don't know if he's going to have any future in AEW because this will constantly be brought up. They will use specific bites. What I wrote to Brian Kendrick publicly today is lead by example and not because of repercussion. For 11 years, did Brian Kendrick lead by example? Maybe it is like a Hulk Hogan situation. Maybe the man is just freaking uncomfortable to speak publicly about, you know, that he doesn't believe in this stuff and he's a, you know, he never, Lillian Garcia on a podcast has about Brian Kendrick, the everyday guy that just decides to go on Twitter or talk to someone or respond to someone, hey, man, I'm sorry, I did that for a payday. you know, I don't know what I was thinking at that time. I was with the wrong crowd. No, it's only when it's, you know, Lillian Garcia or AEW match removed. Brian Kendrick has got to lead by example. He made his bed, and now he's got to sleep in it. And I just don't think that he will have much of an AEW career. He will get work on the indies because there's a lot of people that feel this is cancel culture coming for him. You say one thing stupid. Look at Lars. I mean, look at stuff in the message boards. I mean, you know, he said some messed up stuff too. But because people despise Lars, they don't like him as a wrestler, you know, even if he's, oh, Stephanie McMahon's hot. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, he said a lot worse. He talked about gays. I mean, we're not going to talk about that today. But the point is, you know, you go that side and you start, you know, trying to can't. Now, what do? When you get in situations like this. So, you know, and look, again, people that don't like AEW, that if you start, you know, letting this go, you will have people going on a mission to try to really affect the bigger stars, even the stars that they like. And then you put Tony Khan in the corner. He's got to do something about it. And you can't just take somebody off TV for counseling for 30 days and that's the answer to it. You know, because you do that a couple of times, then it seems like, oh, well, he only did it to try to save face about this. And I'll leave you with one last thing. One thing that we have to remember, whether it's Brian Kendrick or Lars, anyone else that's ever apologized on Twitter for saying something. There was a girl that's, you know, that does, I think, podcasts that said something really crazy about suicide recently, and she apologized for it. And, you know, look, you know, we all have said dumb stuff. You know, you don't have to crucify every single person. You know, you can apologize. But what I will say is just keep in mind when someone does issue an apology on social media for something they have said, don't immediately think that they are sobbing as they're typing it, that the tears are flowing down, that the guilt is so overwhelming. I am so sorry. You know, because look, I could go on Twitter, you could go on Twitter right now and write in 320 characters the most beautiful sounding apology that everybody would buy. And you click enter and you're like, in the privacy of your own home, thank fucking God that's over. Oh, that's got to get over. Honey, what do you think it is? Especially if he's Twitter blue, how many times did he hit undo before he hit enter? So don't think every time somebody apologizes on social media for something they said, whether it's Whoopi or anybody else, doesn't mean that they're sobbing and they're crying and they're really, really guilty, feel guilt, overwhelming, and still so sorry for what they... No, some people, they type it, hit enter, oh, thank fucking God. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that's the way to go. We got to remember that because I think that's the problem that we all fall for, that everybody who gets caught in something, even, you know, an accusation with a wrestler. I mean, we've seen some apologies there as well. It's not always saying something. It's doing something. Look, I am so sorry. That's not me. You know, it's very easy to type it because there's no emotion. Why do I always like to do video? You see someone's eyes. You can sense if they're telling you the truth or not. And most of these people, they type it. And just keep that in mind when you read an apology. Doesn't always mean that the person is really, really remorseful on the other side. How many times did they hit undo before it just sounded so perfect? Maybe run it through a publicist as well. So is that a conspiracy theory? I don't know. So as a result, we didn't get Brian Kendrick versus John Moxley. We got John Moxley versus Wheeler Yuta. It was a fun match. You know, Yuta did face Moxley before. Yuta was annihilated the first time around. They tried to play this off that, you know, Yuta's learned. And he's grown, and he's a much better wrestler than what he was before. And the match went, you know, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, commercial break. You get a little comedy outside the ring with Danhausen and Orange Cassidy, but in the end, Jon Moxley hits the paradigm shift, gets the win. The big buzz coming out of this segment, and I thought it was fabulous. I thought it was too good. And that is Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley. Bryan Danielson is in the ring. No theme music, no stellar entrance, in the ring. Moxley turns around, sees Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson gets on the mic, gives a lot of props to Jon Moxley, calls Moxley the greatest AEW champion, and he would still be AEW champion if he had support. Now, I saw social media right after that, and I had a feeling people were going to get the wrong idea about that. People immediately thought that it was more of moral support, that Moxley had some issues. No, the storyline was Kenny Omega and Don Callis screwed Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley had no backup. That's what Moxley was talking about. And Bryan Danielson says one time, he wanted to fight against Jon Moxley, but Bryan Danielson feels they should be fighting together. He puts down all the current champions, makes fun of Luchasaurus, makes fun of Guevara with his blogs, cowboy shit and all that stuff. He says, together, you and I, we could run this place. And then he brings up Wheeler Yuta, which I thought was a nice gesture for Yuta stepping in. He says, Yuta comes out with jokes. Imagine if we had Wheeler Yuta that we can mentor. He brings up Daniel Garcia. Imagine if we could have them under our wings and mentor them. And then Bryan Danielson, he said something that made so much sense that he got the fans over on this. He says, the fans may not like me right now, but they like what I'm talking about right now. And it was true. Moxley, you know, think about it. He puts his hand out, extends his hand. Moxley doesn't shake his hand. Crowd is going, for the most part, yes, yes, yes. And Bryan Danielson tells him, think about it. And he leaves. And just storyline-wise, of course Moxley's going to say no, and this is going to lead to the match that we've talked about the last couple of weeks. But it made so much sense. Moxley's going to be a lone wolf, you know, which is funny because you remember him with Eddie Kingston, you know, but still, fabulous, fabulous storytelling. And, you know, look, the young guys in that company that is still not ready for primetime in some cases, they are getting lessons from the best of the best. I mean, I talked about it last week. Jade Cargill, when she had a match with Anna Jay, I mean, she turned it up a notch and actually put on a decent performance. We found out that Bryan Danielson has been helped training her. You get some of these veteran guys that could still go. You think they're just sitting with the headphones talking to their wives and just, you know, chilling in the back? No, they actually will come out and watch somebody's match and give a little advice. Hey, you should try this or do this. You know, I saw it with my own eyes. Look, anybody that goes back with me a long way, I'll bring up one example and we'll move on. Mr. Big had a wrestling show in Spanish Harlem, and you, most of you know that I am offering him big money to give me the footage of when I managed, you know, it was, I think, Homicide and Raven versus Sandman, and I don't remember who the other person was. But the point is, what I always remembered that night, and I've talked this story so many times in the past, what blew me away more than anything was about an hour, hour and a half before that indie show went live. In the locker room, there was about 12 up-and-coming guys, you know, just regular, you know, students for the most part, and they're all surrounding the Sandman. And the Sandman is literally on a bench, and he's telling them, you should try this. You should do this. And you say to yourself, Sandman, drunk. The guy stood for an hour and was these guy, indie students, for the most part, were asking him this question, this question, this question. What do you think about this? And the guy just stood there for an hour trying to help. And 99% of those guys had no shot ever making it in wrestling. But he didn't get paid for it. And believe me, if any of you out there ever talk to Mr. Big, he will tell you that story because he saw it with his own eyes as well. A lot of these veteran wrestlers, they do it because they love this business, especially Bryan Danielson. They love it, that they want it to be as beautiful as it possibly can be. And give Tony Khan props to allowing them to put their footprint. WWE, this is where corporate gets in the way. You know, AEW, you could be more of, you know, just letting some of these guys have their influence. Not everything has to be, oh, here's $200. Oh, thank you for doing that. Thank you for helping this person. It was, I love it. I love it. Benjamin, yeah, I don't know what that person is saying. So, yeah, look, Ray, conspiracy theorists, I mean, I would just move on from there because we're talking about AEW Dynamite tonight for now. So now we get Brandy. And like I said earlier, I literally went to the bathroom during this break. Nothing against Brandy personally. I mean, I have given her praise where needed, but this, all this was designed for is, hey, I do a lot of work behind the scenes. I bust my ass. I am the, you know, the in corporate, this and that. My husband, this and that. I deserve a very, look, like I said, the opening of Dynamite, the first female that you saw for forever, and I think still now, is Brandy. In the intro, the first women you see is Brandy. Maybe they changed it. I don't think so. So she's in the ring, and she puts down the fans. She says, it's always nice to come back to Cleveland. They're in fucking Chicago. And she's like, oh, Cleveland, Chicago, same thing, snow, ice. And I'm like, all right, where the fuck is this going? So now you got Lambert that comes out, and Lambert is having to tell everyone that he's this big anti-AEW, anti-cancel culture. And the more you try to say that you're not, you are. He's a paid AEW employee, period. Fans are not that stupid. And then, not for nothing, every time I hear somebody on TV using a term, oh, you should be babyface, you should be heel, that reminds me of WCW when Tony Schiavone went, this is not in the script, everyone. This is not in the script. You don't fucking publicly admit their scripts and shit. Of course we know what wrestling is, but you're, oh, you should be heel. You should be face. The only reason why you're not heel, you know, that's just forced and awful. And it was a segment just to give Brandi Rhodes TV time. Look at a record. I told you all a couple of months ago, padding the numbers, a.k.a. AEW Dark and AEW Elevation. Sometime this year, you're going to wake up like Rumpelstiltskin. You're going to wake up and you're going to be like, holy shit, Brandy's like 19-1. When did that happen? Because they're on Dark and Elevation, padding the numbers. It's all those shows are, padding the numbers, padding the numbers. It's not, oh, let's help develop the stars of tomorrow. Let's elevate the... No, it's padding the fucking numbers. That's why the Gun Club is 43-2. 43-2, the Gun Club. How many matches have they had on Dynamite and Rampage in the last 2 years? So this segment was just to put her over. And then Paige Van Zandt comes out. And honestly, I don't give a shit about any MMA people on TV because there's no reason to have Paige Van Zandt go over on Brandy. For what? Is she going to be the next Shayna Baszler, Ronda Rousey? And I'm just talking about an MMA person that, you know, got bit the bug, is now hooked on wrestling. I got to be a wrestler. I'd rather be a wrestler. That's not happening. So we got this, and it was a waste of time. The only thing entertaining about it was, with all due respect, watching Brandy getting rattled from the fans chanting, shut the fuck up. That was old school ECW. That was ECW 1995, 6, 7, 8, 9, when a wrestler that's not as experienced would come out, get on the mic, say something horrible, is not over, and the fans would just shut the fuck up. They would do it, unfortunately, to Francine. They would do it to others, and sometimes people would get rattled. Francine, tough son of a bitch. She never got rattled. She fed off of it. Brandy tonight, are you done? Are you done? Oh, that's telling them. And then literally a minute later, shut the fuck up. And she got so rattled, she forgot half of her lines. All the catchy little I'm a bitch, bitch, bitch things. And then you knew that she was going to slap Dan Lambert. It's so forced. It's awful. It's awful. Just my opinion. She does a lot with AEW heels, does a lot behind the scenes. I give her all that praise. As far as an on-air character, nobody gives a shit for the most part. And trust me, getting that chant doesn't mean, hey, I'm over as a heel. No, they want you to shut the fuck up. They really do want you to shut the fuck up. She ain't going to be the next Vicky Guerrero with wrestling talent. All right, so now we get a backstage segment with Andrade being wasted away. Man, seriously, if I died now and they say you could come back as anybody in wrestling, maybe JD from New York. He's got so many viewers. Much love to JD. No. If I could die right now and come back and I could be a wrestler, I choose Andrade. Look how much money this guy made in a year and how little he's had to wrestle. Every week, they're in the hallway. They don't even have a locker room. They're in the hallway. Wrestlers are sitting on the steps. You know, oh, I own the Hardy family office. So what happens? Isaiah Cassidy gets a TNT title shot on Friday. We know the match is going to be great. That's the only reason why we're going to watch it, because we know the match is going to be great. But as far as the outcome, come on. You could. I invite all of you out there. Make a deal with the devil right now. Put all your family members on the line. I put grandma on the line. I put everything on Sammy Guevara. Isaiah Cassidy's not winning the TNT title. No fucking way. So, Isaiah, don't disappoint me. Well, guess what, Matt? You'll be prepared to be disappointed. The House of Black, which is now known as the Kings of the Black Throne, Brody King and Malakai Black, they beat Penta and Pac. As I told you, you give it 2 or 3 more weeks, and the House of Black or the Kings of the Black Throne will be your new number one contenders. This is the new toy, the new car scent. That's it. Fabulous Blondes, Varsity Blondes, you know, Unemployed Blondes, you know, that's it. You know, number one contenders gone. The Acclaimed, remember? Oh, number one contenders, fuck! Now we got the Blacks. Now we got King and Malakai. What are we going to do? The Acclaimed, we pushed them to the top. Oh, we'll just give them Darby and Sting. And that's it. Remember I said the week before, I said I'm very concerned about that match. They're going to lose. There goes the number one contendership. The Gun Club? What's the Gun Club going to do, with all due respect? The Gun Club, they're going to remain number one contender? No. They're going to lose to Jurassic Express, and then they go down. And then the next thing you know, Malakai Black, Brody King, number one contenders. And then you realized all of those young teams that for months and months and months worked their way to number one contendership, selling it on Twitter, all the posters, the banners, number three, number two. Number one, it did nothing. It did nothing. It's all a joke. And tonight, no exception. I did like when Pac first came out wearing, I mean, look how cute that is. That's almost like a girl's sock. You see all the holes on the top. Yeah, I can't see. I can't see. I can tell you have green eyes with that sock on. So he's acting like he can't see a little bit. And you have Malakai Black throwing him in the corner. Ultimately, he takes the bandage off. Did we think he was going to have contact lenses? Did we think his eyes were going to be red? Did we think that there was going to be some type of hocus pocus and he was going to have just like Undertaker eyes? Did we think we were going to have Rey Mysterio eyeballs? What did we think? No, he took the thing off and his eyes were eyes. That's what it was. Yes, the Bird Box, Mike. The Bird Box. Match was fun. These guys kill it. Brody King is obviously being introduced to a lot of wrestling fans that did not ever pay attention to him outside of AEW. And I think, you know, he's going to do just fine. He's going to do just fine. Anyway, Malakai Black with the Mist and basically gets the win. Pat got pushed off the top rope, and then Malakai Black using the Black Mist to hit the Dante's Inferno, gets the win. So their momentum keeps rising. Adam Cole. I'm a big fan of Adam Cole. You all know that. But I will even admit it. Adam Cole going on, and remember last week, I had no problem Orange Cassidy beating him. Zero problem at all. But Adam Cole this week talking about how he's undefeated in singles competition and he still doesn't get the respect he deserves. Okay, I'm fine with that statement until he reveals who he's facing Friday on Rampage. I don't get the respect I deserve. And after I beat Evil Uno on Friday, I will get the... I have nothing against Evil Uno. But thinking that you're going to garner all this respect, even if you take Evil Uno, take that mask off, shove it so far up his ass that he has the mask, somehow he's wearing it again. That's like me saying, hey, everybody, you know, I'm going to have a Diet Coke with my five slices of pizza, and that's great for my diet. You know, I'm on this diet. I'm going to have a Diet Coke, and I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to have the Diet Coke with the five. Evil Uno? My man. Nyla Rose beating Ruby Soho. The minute they reminded us that Ruby beat her in the TBS tournament, you knew Nyla was getting a win back. The match was pretty damn good. It was a lot better than I think people expected. Now, we had Lars from Rancid. Be careful where you put that hand, Lars. Be careful. I'm saying that jokingly. Lars is not a good luck charm for Ruby because Ruby lost. I know that attempted kick at the end looked horrible. I think that was done by design. That she swung and she missed. It was like throwing an air ball if you're playing basketball. Nyla Rose sitting on the top rope. Ruby goes for a spin kick, misses completely, falls, and then Nyla, give her credit, man. Beautiful top rope senton, and then the Beast Bomb gets the win. She gets a win back. I expect another match to happen between them. But you're now getting the buzz. What happened to Ruby Soho? What happened? What happened? Oh, don't worry, everyone. She's going to win the Owen Cup. And I'm not trying to belittle the Owen Cup. But, you know, it's all about perception, everybody. Meanwhile, week after week after week, Britt Baker is the champion. Week after week after week, Jade Cargill. Oh, an open contract. Hey, guess what? Little Lisa. 3'5" accepts the challenge. Everybody in that tournament, with the exception of, I think, Anna Jay, none of them is stepping up in storyline. Oh, I put an open challenge out there. Oh, nobody shows up. But Mercedes Martinez has been found. On Rampage Friday, we get Mercedes Martinez versus Thunder Rosa. So good of a match, it's got to be on Rampage. So, Lance Archer. Confrontation with Hangman Page. We find out that they're going to fight next week on Dynamite. Texas death match for the AEW championship. Now, I think it's happened in Atlantic City. I mean, I understand, and I like Texas death matches. I mean, we just did a fun tournament on Patreon talking about match types and Texas death. I talked about being one of my favorites. But you're in fucking Atlantic City. You need to tell me you can't come up with a New Jersey term for a street fight. I would have done something more regionalized, but Hangman Page, fire under his ass. He don't want to wait till next week. He needs something now. He's challenging Lance Archer. Come out. Get your ass out here. Dan Lambert comes out first. Little jawjacking with Paige. Then Jake Roberts comes out. I think ultimately Jake Roberts will be attacked by Lance Archer. I don't know how much because Jake really can't sell like he used to. But I think that is coming very, very soon. But Jake comes out, couple little choice words. Lance Archer just runs out like this. He goes brawling with Hangman Page, hits the blackout, puts Page through the table. Really nice looking spot to set up next week. Yes, Lance Archer is getting the title shot next week. So I think we know the outcome. We just don't know how the match is going to go down. Jericho, we just joked about this last week. Remember the Inner Circle, the team meeting? We talked about that. Please, we don't need any more teases. Are they going to be together? Are they going to split? Jericho feels disrespected that Santana and Ortiz didn't tag him in last week. And he's like, why? Because you and Eddie Kingston started in the business together. We started AEW together. So Jericho demands a team meeting next week in the ring, and attendance is mandatory. Something tells me that we might have some attendees absent for at least part of the segment. So now we get CM Punk, MJF, and we talked about a lot of this match early on. Started at 9:20. This match technically was in two parts. Whether you watched at 9:20, 9:40, 9:50, 9:55, this was straight up old school, classic wrestling, brawling included, obviously. Selling, selling, selling. This is by far CM Punk's best match since he's been in AEW. And it's not because of length. It told a fabulous story. They were spot on with everything that they did. The only time that I got concerned, if you remember when we watched the match, he did the Poison Rana, CM Punk did the Poison Rana onto MJF. And it looked like he kind of landed on his head a little bit. I mean, he was okay, but it looked scarier than I think people realized when it went down. But these two guys tore it up. You know, MJF playing the chicken shit heel. The crowd is loving every minute of it. And because it started so early, you know, people expected some major swerve to go down. Maybe a debut, like I said earlier, Keith Lee trending, you know, people wondering, you know, maybe even Cross showing up, you know, whatever. But yeah, I agree with you, Gordon. We haven't seen the freaking Pepsi plunge in almost, what, 17 years, 16 years? And obviously because it looks like the pedigree, that's why he wasn't using it in WWE. But the story of the match, and again, you know, the thing with the tape, the wrist tape, and for those that didn't see it, MJF ripped off his wrist tape, did what we used to see old school wrestling, chicken shit heels do, Piper used to do it, others, take the tape, wrap it around the opponent's neck, and then you put like almost like a headlock, or you put your arm blocking the neck so the referee can't see that you have, you know, an illegal object choking the guy. Now, in storyline, it looked kind of goofy when CM Punk was like this and the referee's like, but yet, when MJF choked out Punk and the referee called the bell, the crowd is all outraged and the referee's looking at the crowd like as if he hears something. But yet, during the whole time MJF is choking out CM Punk, those very same fans are like, he's choking him. He's got tape around his neck. Go look at the tape. And every looking like a goof. I would use a different term, but there's some words I don't use anymore. But MJF, old school, wraps the tape around Punk's neck. acting like he just has a headlock. Meanwhile, he's pulling and choking out CM Punk. CM Punk falls to the mat. The referee checking. CM Punk cannot answer. The referee calls for the bell. MJF is your winner. Now, we're looking at the time. I think at this time it was only around 9:35, around there. So everybody's like, what the hell is going to happen? We still have 20-something minutes left in the show. And why MJF didn't just put the tape down his pants makes no sense. But obviously, you know, the storyline is he puts it in his armpit. George the Animal Steel used to do that. He would take, you know, the foreign object, hit somebody in the head with it. He would climb the turnbuckle and have the object in his mouth, bending over, and the referee can't see his mouth. He put it under his armpit. You know, old school heels used to do that. But if you look at MJF, every time he used the ring as an illegal object, he would always put it in his trunks. This time around, MJF puts the tape underneath his arm. The referee goes to raise his arm in victory, and the tape falls to the floor. Just a piece of tape. And MJF is looking at it. The referee is looking at it. And the referee starts the match. Restarts it. The dusty finish. Now, again, me as an old school wrestling fan, I loved every minute of it. For contemporary AEW fans, they'll never admit it because they love CM Punk. They wanted CM Punk versus MJF. So these guys could have fought in turkey gravy and people would have still thought it was awesome. But when you have AEW for 2+ years and the amount of rule breaking and all the crazy shit that goes on in Young Bucks matches and other matches and the referees just flapping around like they have some type of epileptic fit, nothing against anybody with epilepsy. I have family members that do. But the referees just flapping their arms like a chicken and letting everything go, but a little piece of tape falls on the floor and you restart the match. You know, it's like, it's hard to believe. See, this is why Tony Khan hopefully learned a lesson tonight. Hey, we can have old school bullshit, you know, incidents and restart a match, and the crowd will love it. Remember the old phrase, if it's not broken, don't try to fix it? AEW does not need to reinvent the wheel. They just need to make the wheel better. And tonight, old school. I mean, look, I don't really give a shit about match ratings. I know a lot of people get triggered when Meltzer gives AEW matches 5 stars. But I tell you, you know, you look at this storytelling and the psychological part of the match and everything that it did. I'll tell you the truth, with the exception of a couple of spots from last week, I loved this match better than I liked Cody and Sammy. No joke. And, you know, everybody knows I'm now, a fan of Jim Cornette. Took many years for me to, you know, finally get it. But I already expect this guy to absolutely put over this match fabulous. So they restart the match. And I saw some people complaining. CM Punk was choked out completely. The minute they restarted the match, CM Punk pops up and is brawling and beating the shit out of MJF. Wow, that was pretty quick recover. Well, you know, when you're being choked out, you know, you have no air storyline in you know, you lose an oxygen and you could pass out for a second and he broke the hold. So your oxygen comes back and you're better. And we don't have to nitpick that closely. But since we're talking about AEW, Steph is asking me why I don't put Sonya Deville over. Go type in her name in my channel, and you will see clips of last week. And I know you heard the clip of me saying why I didn't think she was Eric Bischoff 25 years ago, and I said that she is very unique, and I did nothing but kiss Sonya Deville's ass for about 5 minutes. So, much love. Much love. She's a big supporter of the show. So, the match is restarted. CM Punk gets the upper hand for a little while. Eventually, MJF gets it back. crowd is freaking into this match. CM Punk is pulling out moves that we haven't seen in more than a decade. The Pepsi plunge, the poison Rana. And, you know, CM Punk, especially when he did the Pepsi plunge, I mean, you looked at his knee. I mean, he obviously had a burn from the pad earlier in the match, or maybe he burned it on the mat, but he landed leg first and then knee dashed into the canvas. So he takes the knee pad off, and I'm sure he knows he's got a nice little mouse on there, and he's selling the knee, I mean, as good as anybody. I mean, the guy knows how to sell. And MJF, give him a lot of credit as well, because MJF immediately sees the little mat burn on his knee, and MJF goes to work on his knee. Punk rips the knee pad off. That's the telltale sign to MJF. I took the pad off. I'm selling the knee. Work on the fucking knee. And that's what he did. So we're getting towards the end of the match, and Wardlow comes out. Wardlow is walking down the rampway. CM Punk and MJF are outside the ring. MJF is actually laid out, and Wardlow goes face-to-face with CM Punk. And good camera work by AEW, because they really zoomed in to just from the pretty much the neck up, maybe the top of the shoulder. We saw later on in the replay that while CM Punk and Wardlow were staring at each other, Wardlow had the ring in his hand, and I know you really can't see it, but he put it behind his back, and MJF grabbed the ring from Wardlow. So the announcers didn't see it originally. We didn't see it originally. Wardlow, after staring down CM Punk face-to-face for about, I'd say 15 seconds, Wardlow backs off, and the crowd starts popping. Because it almost looks like what the Young Bucks did to Hangman Page when he won the championship. Remember when they were face-to-face with Hangman Page, and then they looked at him and they went, and then they moved out of the way? So Wardlow, he doesn't nod, but he just backs away, and it looks like he's turning away from MJF. He's allowing Punk to throw MJF back in the ring, and the referee is still paying attention Wardlow. Wardlow's not doing anything, but MJF, now as the ring, lays out CM Punk. Referee turns around, 1, 2, 3, MJF pins CM Punk again. Well, he pins him, the first time was chokeout. Crowd is in disbelief. We watched the replay, and they had it on their Titantron, and as you see the far camera with Wardlow staring down CM Punk, son of a bitch, he sneaks the ring to MJF. And just for icing on the cake, when the referee is turned, MJF makes sure that the fans see he gives the ring back to Wardlow. Wardlow puts it in his pocket, and we go off the air. So, beautiful. I mean, the match, really, I enjoyed every minute of it. So, really, look, for four matches, overall, a really fun night. Look, as I said at the beginning of the show, you know, Monday Night Raw, there was a Raw episode on 1-1-1, January 1st, 2001. I don't think we had one. I think 2-2-2, I think, was on a Tuesday night. So, you know, 3-3-3, I think, was on a Thursday night. So you don't really have, like, numerical numbers in sync like this, but you know, we always go back and we look at 10, 10, 10, and that was one of the most awful nights in TNA history. By the way, especially the fact that they can't spell, you know, just putting that sign in the ring was just, you know, funny as it is. But I think we're going to remember 2-2-22 for a long time. It was a fun, fun night. And the storyline, look, tonight really was about MJF and Punk and Moxley and Bryan Danielson. Four guys, that was pretty much the story of the show. I mean, unfortunately, obviously, what happened, the news with Kendrick, but it was about four guys, and we loved it. So your preview for next week, Okay, well, even Friday, on Friday, we have Isaiah Cassidy versus Sammy Guevara for the TNT title. We have Adam Cole versus Evil Uno. We have Jay Lethal versus Ricky Starks for the FTW title. And Thunder Rosa will be taking on Mercedes Martinez. Next week for AEW Dynamite, we have the Texas Deathmatch, Lance Archer versus Hangman Page, and the Inner Circle team meeting. Obviously, we'll get more things announced in the upcoming days. But I tell you, I expect tonight's Dynamite to go over 1.1 million viewers. Because honestly, I don't, maybe you lost some viewers during Soho and Nyla Rose. Maybe some viewers turned off during like a goofy segment or something. But man, you open up with Moxley, and then you have this outstanding confrontation with Moxley and Danielson that just storytelling was beautiful. And then you have 40 minutes of Punk MJF to close out really two quarters of the show, almost three. I mean, I personally, I'm curious to see what this rating is, but I think it's got to go over 1.1 million. I wouldn't be surprised if it's more towards 1.2 million. You know, maybe not that much of an increase, but I can't see how this rating would be lower than last week. So, good show. Good show. If you are interested, I got an email today from Upper Deck. If anybody that's into collecting cards, all right, these are not coming out until the summertime. But Upper Deck announced they're coming out with a set called AEW Spectrum. These are going to feature metal cards and cards that have memorabilia inserts. Now, I'll read you just a quick little portion of this press release to give you an idea as far as what these cards will feature. And they say the cards will include Hangman Page, Britt Baker, CM Punk, Cody and Brandi Rhodes, Brian Danielson, Jericho, Omega, Young Bucks, go down the list, all the stars. AEW Spectrum also delivers the first AEW cards made of metal and full gear insert cards, which showcase wrestlers, and it'll have chair shots insert cards featuring a die-cut card that includes a short list of AEW superstars. On the mat relics will be pieces of ring mats. Table for two relics will have pieces of tables. Ring general relics, which will have swatches of different match used ring components that could be mats, turnbuckles, aprons. And they look pretty good. I mean, you see right there the autographed card of Hangman Page. Not bad. Not bad. I mean, I think the quality of cards are pretty solid. If you checked out last Thursday's show, you know, we talked about their signed photos that they have up for sale, which those prices are just disgusting. I don't know anybody that's going to spend $300 to $500 for a signed photo. Especially some of the wrestlers that you could get a good signed photo with a good JSA authenticity on eBay for about $30, and on Upper Deck site, they're selling it for $299. Crazy. Crazy. All right, let's briefly talk about NXT a little bit. Fun show yesterday. For me, the show was about the beginning and the end. Mish sold me on it. I checked it out today. We had Imperium of Gunther, Marcel Barthel, and Fabian Aichner over Diamond Mind, Roderick Strong, and the Creed Brothers. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to continue what I said about a week ago. I don't know what the hell the future is going to be for Roderick Strong. I almost feel like Diamond Mind is going to kick him out. They're going to kick Strong out of Diamond Mind. I don't know what his future is going to be. Unfortunately, I don't see him going to the main roster because he's not character-driven. And in WWE, you have to be character-driven. There's almost nobody who is bland as water as far as personality-wise. And just because you're a good fighter, it's not, I don't see it. I don't, and look, maybe he's willing to stay on board as a trainer will maybe be more of a trainer than an in-ring wrestler. I don't know if Roddy is looking to do that at this stage of the game. I get the same vibes like Matt Hardy, Kendrick, Scotty, like I said earlier. Some of these guys, you know, they're right at the edge. You know, they're right at that edge where they're about to be past their prime, or they are a little past their prime. And WWE's like, look, you know, we'll offer you this, but we can't do this anymore. Then a wrestler's got to make a very tough decision. Do I still want to do it in the ring for a couple of more years until I can't do it anymore? Or do I take this and get a little bit of security? I know you can be released at any time, but that's the risk that these wrestlers take. That's the risk that they take. Benjamin is saying Roderick Strong needs a manager or a faction on the main roster. And then what? He's still not, he has no personality. He's not a character. There's nothing about him, you know, with his look-wise that stands out. WWE is character-driven. AEW is more wrestler in the ring. You know, AEW is about in-ring and not so much on the storyline aspect, with the exception of a few. So I don't see that. But yes, we talked about the Jeff Hardy situation on Monday night, 2EX. You can go check out Monday night show. There is a timestamp for that. Very, very happy to see what came out as far as the results. Raquel Gonzalez over Cora Jade. And even though Cora lost, she gains the respect of Raquel Gonzalez. Saray makes her return, beating Kayla Inlay. And, yeah, sorry for some of you out there that expected like a Sailor Moon schoolgirl type look. I think once Sasha Banks came out looking like Sailor Moon in a Royal Rumble, I think it spelled doom for Saray doing the same look. It's basically her outfit from before, but they're talking about the charm for good luck. You know, look, NXT, what people need to remember is that NXT, there's going to be changes more often than you think. You see Andre Chase, you see some other wrestlers, you know, changing their gimmick almost within a month, because NXT is developmental. They're not going to spend a year building up a persona, a character about someone where they know it's not clicking, it's not working, it's not gelling. They're not going to wait a year or 2 years and then change it. It's developmental. They'll try it for a few weeks. If they think that it can go further, they will continue with it. If they feel that it sucks or it's not working, you know, that's what developmental is. Trial and error, trial and error, trial and error. I said this over the weekend. I like, and I'm not going to get into the old rant, but I like NXT 2.0 because I like watching these stars, these wrestlers who are still inexperienced, some that have never made it, and watching them develop into future superstars. It's like if you're a fan of baseball, it's like following the minor leagues and you got a rookie or somebody in your farm system that you know one day is going to be a tremendous superstar, and you just love watching the development of that person. You don't want to see them go to the major leagues and then do poorly. You want them to shine and be outstanding, and then you bring them up. And then I used the cooking reference. There are some people who love to cook for their significant other, for their friends, for their family. They love going to the store, buying all the ingredients, spending a couple of hours in the kitchen. They like doing everything from scratch. And then when they're done, they have this beautiful meal. And then there are people out there that buy it already pre-made or microwave. They'll microwave food, and that's content for them. Not everybody wants to see NXT in the kitchen trying to put together the ingredients and making this beautiful, outstanding dish from scratch. They would rather have pre-made. Give me so-and-so from the Indies, pre-made. Give me this person, pre-made. Give me this. And sometimes when you buy something that's already cooked and pre-made, it's not easy to add extra ingredients to it, because it's already done. you put too many ingredients, you screw it up. You try to take something away from it, you screw it up. So sometimes you buy something that's too pre-made, it's not that easy to tweak it. So I like the process with NXT. Not everybody's going to like it. In fact, I'm going to go one step ahead. Wendy Chu over Amari Miller. Wendy Chu doing a sleeper hold. She's got to come out with a shirt. You know, like that Brock Lesnar shirt, Eat, Sleep, Conquer, Repeat? She's got to come out with the same style shirt, but it's got to say sleep, 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 repeat. Or we have Suplex City. What did I say before? I said Sleepplex City. I actually did a little spinoff. It was just my own ideas. Just like, remember, I gave that shirt idea to Aaliyah. Aaliyah 317 says, I just pin your ass. You know, some people tried to do the Austin and they use kick your ass. And like, no, pin your ass. Kick your ass doesn't mean you actually won a match. Kick your ass means I kicked your ass. But Aaliyah 317 says, I just pin your ass. But I think Wendy Chu, they got to come out with a sleep, 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 repeat. Sleepplex City. Got to take somebody to Sleepplex City. So, Joe Gacy over LA Knight. No problem with LA Knight losing there. The guy is over. He's helping build some of the young stars right now. I'm still holding out hope that Johnny Gargano is going to return and have a feud with Grayson Waller. I think that could happen. I don't know. It's a long shot, but, you know, I think that would be fun. Andre Chase over Draco Anthony. Not much there. Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa over Legado del Fantasma of Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde. Really enjoyed the main event. Nice to see Ciampa giving, you know, a little bit of that veteran rub to Bron Breakker. It helps. Believe me when I tell you, it helps. And again, you definitely need a few older stars to remain in NXT because it is a developmental progress. But like I said about Bryan Danielson helping some of the younger stars, especially Jade and others, you hear about Serena Deeb, who is now officially a trainer there. You have some of these older stars that do give back, because guess what? Bryan Danielson, when he was an up-and-coming star, he had veterans giving him some advice, giving him some help. He is giving back what was given to him, and it's not always just based on, hey, give me a contract, and I'll do this. Give me a payday, and I'll do this. So we also got more of the build with Kaylee Ray and Mandy Rose, you know, basically holding Toxic Attraction hostage. Kaylee Ray, you know, just taking them out. And next week, we get a match for the Women's Championship. Next week also, the Creed Brothers versus the Grizzled Young Veterans in the semifinals of the Dusty Classic. MSK versus Malik Blade and Idris Inofi in the semifinals in the Dusty Classic. And the winners of those two matches will go on to the finals. Now, remember my predictions from the beginning. I'm going to stick with them. I think MSK and the Grizzled Young Veterans will win next week, and they go to the finals. And I'm putting it all on the Grizzled Young Veterans. If they don't win it, they're done. I'll keep saying that. Captain Obvious, file this under the Captain Obvious news department. I saw all these ridiculous websites today reporting that there is a delay in the women's Dusty Classic because they don't have enough female tag teams. We had that conversation like 2 weeks ago. That there's no buzz whatsoever about the Dusty Classic. When they teased Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai possibly reforming, that's a telltale sign that they don't have enough teams for this tournament. Because remember, the winner is supposed to take on Toxic Attraction. So with Saray returning. You know, Zoe Stark is still a little ways away, but with Saray returning, you could put her with maybe Io Shirai. There is a good team right there. You could have Indy Hartwell and Persia Perota. That is a team right there. You got Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. Remember I said, you might remember this last week, remember I said that there was discussion that they may only have four women's tag teams in that tournament? They're really trying to get eight. But as of right now, they only have four. And I saw all these news reports yesterday. I'm like, that's Captain Obvious. No fucking shit. I mean, that's not news. That's just common sense. But we'll see. We'll see. Impact. I know a lot of you have been asking me about covering Impact a little bit. I mean, I'm going to slowly bring them back in the mix. I mean, their ratings. And it still blows me away that a lot of sites that are just so into ratings don't ever show any love for Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling has had six straight weeks of increase. Their ratings are up 130% since the third week in December. And they're now back to the time, ratings-wise, when Tessa Blanchard was their champion. The Ring of Honor storyline, even though it's in name, it's worked really nicely. And you got members of the Bullet Club there. And Jonah is now working there, albeit for a short period of time. And the shows have been pretty good. If you notice, they've shied away from the Wrestle House stuff, which was the right way to go. I mean, I know they're teasing. It looks like Taya Valkyrie will be there very, very soon. But they're actually doing pretty good right now. I think they deserve a second look if anybody hasn't been watching them in a long time. So this week we have Jay White, G.O.D., Chris Bay and Chris Bay versus Jake Something, Mike Bailey, Ace Austin. G.O.D., tag team. Chris Bay and Jay White versus Jake Something, Mike Bailey, Ace Austin, and Madman Fulton. You have Vincent versus Josh Alexander. The digital media title will be on the line. Jordan Grace is going to defend it against Matt Cardona. That should be interesting. Jonathan Gresham, in a non-title match, will be taking on Steve Macklin, so the title is not on the line. Jonah versus Crazy Steve and John Skyler versus Bhupinder Gujjar. So definitely check it out. Thank you, Chris, for the kind words, by the way. Thank you. Ring of Honor, the Briscoes are the first announced inductees in the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame. Last week, we talked about it. I thank you all who posted your picks for the first four inductees. Now, when we talked about it, you know, we didn't know if the Briscoes would count as two or one inductee. And they're actually still going to choose three more inductees. And it's very important that I bring this up because I actually talked about this last week, and now it seems like what we brought up with a non-wrestler may actually happen, and I'll tell you why. What Ring of Honor is doing, if you didn't tune in last week, is for three straight weeks of TV, they're going to feature the whoever's inducted or announced to be in their Hall of Fame. So, for example, the Briscoes, they announced as the first inductees in the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame. So this week, they're going to spend the episode paying tribute for the Briscoes. They're going to show, you know, various matches throughout their career. And the Briscoes are there a lot longer than you think. So this week's Ring of Honor TV will be dedicated to the Briscoes. Now, remember, they, when they issued their press release about the Hall of Fame, they said three straight weeks dedicated to Hall of Fame inductees. Now, four inductees, 3 weeks of TV, Briscoes only count as one of the four inductions. So that means you have two more weeks of TV, but three names yet to be announced. that tells me one of those three more than likely will not be a wrestler. Will it be Kari Silken? Will it be Gabe Sapolsky? I'll be honest with you. If I was going to choose, and I know this is going to sound like Bizarro Land, I would choose Gabe Sapolsky. There's no secret. I despise Gabe Sapolsky for 18 years. More because of the bullshit that went down when XPW came to the Northeast. You know, they had this persona, this perception of honor and this and that. And the owners of Ring of Honor were snakes in the grass behind the scenes. I still remember what they pulled for a couple of wrestlers because they just wanted a payday in XPW. We're not going to get into that today. But, you know, years go by. I mean, you know, things change and people evolve, no pun intended. I think Gabe Sapolsky should be the first non-wrestler that I would put in. Seriously. Kari Silken would not be a bad choice either, but I would put Gabe in before I put Kari Silken. The other two choices, look, we talked about Samoa Joe, CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Low-Ki. I mean, you really can't go wrong, but they have to choose pioneers. I can't see why Samoa Joe would not be able to accept the induction. One thing, and this is business, but it's pretty obvious. With the Briscoes now rumored to be going to AEW, don't know if it's going to happen, but with the Briscoes rumored and a lot of buzz around the Briscoes, especially after losing the GCW tag titles, Ring of Honor makes them their first induction. And, oh, by the way, watch our TV show. It's going to be all Briscoes. So they're going to put people in that they could showcase their entire TV show to celebrate. So do I want to see a full episode dedicated to Low-Ki right now? Or do I want to see a full episode dedicated to Samoa Joe? Do I want to see a full episode dedicated? I don't think CM Punk would be put in the first class, even though that was one of my picks. So you got to remember, it's going to coincide with TV as well. So, and that's pretty much it. As far as tonight goes, I think we covered everything. Yes, we did. And we're almost at the two-hour mark, a little bit longer than I wanted to. And we obviously could not end this show tonight with a little shout-out. I know who this is behind the name, but big shout-out. You'll see it on the screen in a moment. Shout-out to 10-10-10. He hopes that I'm well on this special day of 2-2-22. Speaking of Impact on this special day, we remember the greatest pay-per-view of all time and the birthplace of the Abyss voice. Was that who I originally was impersonating? Oh, yeah, that's right, The Ring. You know, newer viewers have no idea, but we had a field day back then. Abyss, they're coming! They're coming! Look, The Ring! The Ring! Oh, man, those are memories, man. Those were freaking memories. I mean, I look back on it in a little bit of embarrassment. I honestly do, but I'm not going to lie. It was a little bit of a badge of honor. For those that don't know, when TNA was, I don't know if you would call it in their prime, but when TNA was doing their thing around 2006 or 7, they had in behind the scenes a list of wrestling shows that no TNA wrestler were allowed to appear on. And I don't remember who the other show was, but one of the two shows was mine. I mean, I was doing it with Kev Castle at the time as well. But under no circumstance, which was fine because I don't do guests. You know, I've never done guests with the exception of Conan for the most part. And that was under special circumstances. But, you know, looking back on it, I'm kind of embarrassed. You know, I don't take pride. I mean, there's some people online that like brag when they get blocked from people. And then you know that they truly got triggered because they can't stop talking about it. You know, they'll write, oh, you know, so-and-so blocked me. I don't give a shit. I'm not a fan of theirs anyway. And then a week later, they have to remind you, oh, did you know that Adam Cole blocked me? Oh, yeah, Adam Cole, yeah, he blocked me a while ago, but I don't give a shit. You know, they'll get him. Adam Cole, gas station attendant. Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, hey, Adam Cole, yeah, he blocked me. He's lightweight, triggered, thin-skinned. you know, but it doesn't bother me. And then you do a Twitter advanced search like a year later and you find out that 64 tweets about Adam Cole blocking people. So it's all good. It's all good. I am enjoying wrestling right now. I mean, not everything is perfect. It's never all perfect. You know, even growing up in the 80s, I mean, there was a lot of cheesy shit on TV. It was not all that fun at times. I mean, you had your superstars and your awesome storylines, but you had a lot of shit mixed in there as well. A lot of filler would probably be the better way to put it. Then you get the 90s, and you look at some of those awful gimmicks that WWF had, you know, and then they started the new generation, you know, and they got rid of, that's why I said recently, could you imagine if there was Twitter around in 1993 and WWF started the new generation and they got rid of all the veterans? They let go to Savage, Hogan, it's Sid, Lex Luger. I mean, I know back, you know, looking at it now, you're like, hey, that was a good decision. But trust me, if there was Twitter in 1993, it's almost the same thing as like NXT. The fuck you doing? Hey, what the fuck is this? Hunter, Hurst, Helmsley? What is Hurst? What is he, funeral guy? You know, not all the wrestlers were very over when they first came in. The Godwins, slop, slop. I sound like Beavis, slop, slop. But I can only imagine what social media, when they reacted, oh, WWF, Meltzer back then, WWF going in a new direction. They're now using the term the new generation, that, you know, WCW is where the big boys play. But WWE, they're going on young, future of tomorrow. They had a lot of horrible gimmicks in the process. Then you get the 2000s, and ECW goes out of business, and WCW goes out of business, and WWE, WWF had an all-star roster. They had a fantasy roster. I mean, it didn't happen right away. We had to wait for Hogan, Hall, Nash, Goldberg, Flair, some of the bigger names, but you still had the other stars. But, you know, we got stuck with the Triple H show, and he's banging Katie Vick, and Vince McMahon is trying to tongue kiss Torrey Wilson, you know, and you had some garbage at that time, and you didn't have much of a variety. And when TNA first came around, we were so excited for NWA TNA. And then we realized that there was such a rotating roster, you would get behind the wrestler, and then 3 weeks later, they're gone. And then they tried to recreate hardcore. Remember, this is only a year or two after, a year after ECW went out of business. And they did like the Hard 10 Challenge. Remember? You know, like you hit somebody with a Singapore cane, 2 points. You body slam someone, 1 point. You get taken down, minus a point. Who the fuck wants an ad watching a hard 10 challenge? It was awful. Reverse battle royals. You start on the floor and you got to try to get in the ring. I mean, they tried to do too much. And then you get Dixie Carter with the dumb cryptic tweets. Oh, I just got off the phone with this person. It's unbelievable. It's going to change the landscape of TNA forever. Tommy Dreamer's in the Impact Zone, with all due respect. You know, she blew a lot of hot air at that time. And I still remember when Jacksonville Tony tried to do it. And remember, major surprise, AEW, major surprise, going to be talking to Net. They're coming to Jacksonville. And they got ripped apart. And Tony acting like he doesn't know what goes on with the other Twitter account. I'll never forget that. We need to be better. We need to be better for our fans. Now we have to give them a big surprise. How could you do that? He fucking knew. But it's all good. It's all good. That's how the business is. This is how the sausage is made. When I did that Max Caster rap, you know what's funny? My software had an update. And one of the things, and we're going to leave now, but one of the things that I always had a problem is I don't name my files all that good. I'm in such a rush that sometimes I just type random letters just to save a file, and then I just put it in here and do go live. But now I actually, they did an update where if I just want to find a video, I just hit a button and a video pops up like this. Let me see. I don't know if this is the right one though. Let me see. Okay, why do I not see anything? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yo, 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 oh, oh.
Listen, I'm so damn excited. I want to yell. Acclaim to back on all Elite. Gee, that's swell. Watered down insults and friendly promos. Gone are the days of calling opponents. Come on, man. Kidding me? Nah, I'm only playing. It's just a joke. Acclaim will do just fine despite complaints for the woke. Continue the insults, continue the roast. Never go stale like this keto toast. Oh.
All right, one more. My favorite one of all. One more. Remember this.
Yo.
It's supposed to be horrible.
Oh. Listen. Goose are bad sources. You should have waited. You're premature ejaculated. Max is just a character. You're grief-stricken. You wanted Cornette fired over a bucket of chicken. Yo. Kidding me? You think it's cause of woke? Then take a toke. AEW's hustling you. They're in on the joke. Soon you'll see the truth about the biz. Be prepared to wipe off that All Elite jizz. Oh.
Hey, I fixed the color at least. But yeah, that's, I mean, you know, AEW, it's not much different than WWE. Of course, it's not corporate like WWE, not publicly traded company, and obviously they could do things a lot differently. But at the end of the day, you got the same people behind the scenes. You know, it's just a perception. I mean, as time goes by, you see how the sausage is made. Brian Kendrick, if the perception was a little bit different in AEW, Brian Kendrick would have wrestled tonight. Brian Kendrick, look, the internet was the same when Brian Kendrick was on 205 Live. The internet was the same when Brian Kendrick got thrown down the stairs by Harland. The internet was the same when Brian Kendrick was supposed to take on Harland. When they scrapped the match and Brian Kendrick wanted his release, everybody was writing, oh my God, he should go to AEW, he should go to AEW, he should go to AEW. All that information was there. People just didn't bother. They just didn't bother. And then somebody got very upset by it, started looking and this and that, and then people realize, oh shit, yeah, that's how it works. Shout out to Nier, and yeah, man, you should be sleeping right now, brother. You know, he had his chemo, he's battling Hodgkin's lymphoma, he had COVID last week, which basically delayed his chemo, but you know, I think four shots, right? I think four is it. Now you should be on the road to recovery. So get some sleep, man. I'm about to get some sleep. So much love to you. And much love to all of you out there. I appreciate your support. I thank you very much. I try to keep it real. You know, it may not be as funny or entertaining as others, but, you know, you take your time to tune into my shows. I feel you deserve, you know, my opinion, straight up honest. No agenda, no bias, no influence. And, you know, you agree, disagree. That's all good. You know, I just try to give a different perspective. And I'm out of here. So for our channel members, I will be here live tomorrow night for the Q&A live stream. So join me. For everyone else that is not a member, you know, you could get the audio version of the show. Just go to DonTony.com or you go to Blue Wire website and get it there. If you want to become a channel member, you know, on the video screen there's a word join. You just click on that. It's not a money grab, trust me. You know, the amount that I always give back, you know, is 1,000 times moreover. But there was a little controversy with the predictions contest for the Royal Rumble. I will talk about it tomorrow. I didn't want to talk about it tonight because we don't normally talk WWE on Wednesdays unless there's tragedy or something, you know, that we really need to discuss. Tomorrow I'll get into the Shane McMahon a little bit more. But again, the show will be available for everybody on my website. So I don't want anybody to feel like you're going to be left out of something. I will tell you that, oh, my audio went louder. I don't know why, but I will tell you that, like I said earlier, I'll leave you with what I said at the beginning of the show. Somebody who I trust, somebody who has been working in the business for about 13, 14 years now, that I've been friendly with since day one, straight from him, his answer to me was, what you read today was highly exaggerated. So there's a few things. I mean, I don't want to get into it now, but, you know, people forget that Shane McMahon is an executive for a company that has nothing to do with WWE, that Shane McMahon was just coming in for mostly WrestleMania and Elimination Chamber, like we said last week. WWE changed the idea of Seth Rollins. Look, Monday, Mish and I talked about the idea of Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. If the original plan was Seth Rollins versus Shane McMahon, you know, it could be as simple as, hey, look, you know, we're going to go with Kevin Owens instead. We think the fans would be more into it. You know, people immediately think that there's this massive falling out, that Vince is disowning Shane. So that's a little preview of what I'm going to say tomorrow. But believe me when I tell you, I promise you this, after you hear what I have to say, you're going to realize that people today more were, oh my God, I got to get my quotes in for likes. I got to get my podcast in for hits and views and this and that, instead of actually trying to get the answer to the story. I mean, there's a lot that still hasn't been out there, but they still ran with it anyway. And I'll also tell you one last thing about this. You know, Shane McMahon, not on corporate for WWE, not even an employee for WWE. So going in a different direction with WrestleMania is not fired. I mean, there's nobody in corporate that is questioning it. So there's a lot more to this than meets the eye, but it's not as controversial. And you know, I'll say one last thing before we go, with all due respect, how many of you out there, seriously, and I know a lot of people probably deleting their tweets from the Royal Rumble, how many of you out there who have seen people crap on Shane McMahon for the last week, not even the Royal Rumble nonsense that was going around, but people crapping on the idea of Shane McMahon coming back for Elimination Chamber, Shane McMahon possibly wrestling on WrestleMania, Shane McMahon. And then after this report comes out today, they're posting Shane McMahon is all elite. The same people that feel that Shane McMahon is a cancer to WWE television, that should never be an on-air person again, are now fantasizing him going to AEW. There's a weirdness going on. And then the best part is when people are called out on it, oh, I was just kidding. I was just joking. So we'll talk about it tomorrow. I hope to have more information by tomorrow night. And we'll see what happens. Look, if there is a lot of controversial shit involved with this, we'll talk about it. But one thing we won't do is speculate and inflate, you know, just to get attention. You know, we'll have a legit straight up combo. So guys, gals, it's been real. A lot of fun tonight. Props to AEW for a kick-ass show. NXT yesterday was a lot of fun. Impact Wrestling, I'm watching it tomorrow. I'm actually going to watch it from start to finish. I'm starting to get that itch to watch Impact again. And props to them. Props to them. They're doing their own thing. They're focusing on their own talent. And that's all they need to do. I don't think they're going to go past 186. I think that rating streak will end this week, because there's a lot of matches that I just don't think casual fans would really want to tune into. But I don't think there'll be that steep of a drop. I could see 140, 150, you know, next week. And that's still not a bad number overall. So, I'll leave you one more thing. Ratings. NXT yesterday did 619. And I tell you what sucks. Continue looking at the scroll. NXT did 619, which was 4.5% increase. Raw did 1,865,000, which was almost a 6% increase. Rampage did 601 Friday, which is a 1.2% increase. SmackDown, Those motherfuckers were down 1.7%. That is not a typo. Impact was up 44%. Dynamite was up 6.6%. What's my point about all of this? Remember last week when I pointed out that every wrestling show for like 9 straight shows had a ratings increase? If it wasn't for the SmackDown go-home show for the Royal Rumble, there would be right now 14, at least 14 straight wrestling shows with a ratings increase. I can't remember the last time. I don't even know since NXT's been on television, USA Network. I don't think that's ever happened before. So if it wasn't for SmackDown having that 1% drop, I mean, we would have been in territory with ratings increases that we haven't seen. And it's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. That means more fans are into the products now. I'm going to add the numbers together this weekend and compare it from like a couple of months ago. I know we're going into WrestleMania season, but still, you know, I think it's pretty damn good right now, wrestling as a whole. So good night, everybody. Be well. Stay safe. Hope to see you tomorrow night, 10:05 p.m. Eastern. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.